two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club.
Great play.
With Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and BYU's Jaron Hall.
Throws for the end zone. It is caught in the end zone.
Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's the Players Club. Another edition of the program here. Bonus extra playing for BYU this season. It was one thing to have a six-win season or seven-win season to say, hey, bowl eligible, get to go to the Independence Bowl. Great. It's another to go 10-2, which I'll be the first to admit, Jaron, that we were kind of like, hey, 8-9 wins, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Did you guys look at it and go, no, we know we can be 10-2 or, you know, 11-1, 12-0?
Yeah.
The reality is that beating the teams that you guys beat, too, that's even more impressive when you look at having seven wins against P5 teams on that schedule. How do you guys look at it as a team? It must be a massive piece of pride for you guys to be able to look at the list of teams you guys beat this year.
Yeah, I think being independent for so long, it's never being in a Power 5 conference. You know, that's what the great teams of college football are found in is the Power 5s. And so to be able to say that we had that much success throughout this year as a team is – it's pretty cool to see, to look back on. But I think at the beginning of the year, I think we had that confidence as a team inside our building. I know a lot of people didn't believe in that. We're kind of limiting us in a lot of ways because of who we lost and who we're getting back and the uncertainties there, which I understand. But as a team, you know, we worked too hard all year together. We spent too much time. We knew what we were capable of.
Was it just confidence that helped you? I mean, because, you know, having that tough of a schedule, and it was, you know, it's a tough schedule. I mean, what went into you guys having so much success against a really stiff schedule?
I think just seeing every game is an opportunity to play a faceless opponent. I think when you worry about the jersey and the conference they're from and how many games they've won in the past, blah, 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 it's easy to fall into that trap of, okay, let's just try to hang in there and see what we can do. But we had the approach of, no, we're going to be the most physical team on the field. We're going to be the most energetic team on the field. And there's very few games that we were that. That's why we had so much success. So each week knowing that, you know, we're kids just like these guys, why can't we win? You know, why can't we take this to them? There's nothing that separates them from us other than, you know, our stories and where we come from. Other than that, we're all hard-nosed dudes. And that's kind of the approach we took, just be tough guys and be humble about it. And that was kind of our recipe for success all year.
Where does that come from? Is that Coach Sataki? Is it A-Rod? Is it who emphasizes all of it?
Kalani starts it, you know, and then through that, all the coaches are on board with him. A-Rod, Fessy, Coach Tuyaki, and the defensive coaches, all of our offensive coaches, they're all bought in. And so it's when you hear one thing from Kalani, it's reiterated from the coaches through practice and meetings, and then through the leaders and down to the new guys on the team. So it's over the course of the season, it slowly just becomes who we are individually as people. But it definitely starts with Kalani.
A nasty moment when Isaac Rex went down. I still think they should have reviewed it because it looked like he came down with the catch, and that right foot was in before he came down on that ankle. It looked like a pretty bad deal. They got to get the air cast out and everything. Yeah. Have you been able to talk to him, or did he get to talk to the team? What was his? Obviously, it's a massive, massively sad deal when you go down with an injury like that and go, I can't be with you the rest of the year.
Yeah. You know, I think I had a chance to talk to Isaac yesterday. We texted him back and forth last night. But I think for him right now, he hasn't like said anything out to the team, but I think more that everyone on the team has been reaching out to him, and we're just letting him kind of take it all in. I know all of his family are with him there where he's at in L.A. right now, and he's just trying to obviously gather his thoughts, and I'm sure just understand why everything's happening right now, especially for the gruesome injury that it was. You don't wish to ever go through anything like that or have a teammate do that, so I'm sure he's just kind of trying to find peace with it. But he seemed to be in a good mood last night, seemed to be himself over the phone. So we just hope that the doctors will, he'll be in good hands with them there.
It was just raw emotion. You know, he's going off the field, and it was like not being with his team. There's the physical pain, and obviously that was like the least of his concern. It was just such it was a deal where it was just like, it's a sad deal to see somebody like that on the team, a leader like that go down. So it's a bummer of a deal too. When you guys left L.A. and you get on the charter, you come back to Provo, what's talked about on the plane? Like, what are you guys – are you guys talking about the possibility
nothing,
of – everybody goes to sleep?
Everybody's sleeping. I mean, dudes in the aisle, worn out, especially a game like that. You know, dudes laying down the floor, just trying to stretch their bodies out. I mean, anybody and everybody got a piece of that action on Saturday, and it was a physical game. So, dudes just sleeping, some watching the film, but – other than that, just trying to relax and just get away from football for a minute so we can just kind of recuperate and feel a little better.
So now the season's complete and it's unclear about where you'll go as far as a bowl game, but you'll go to one for sure.
Right.
What goes into now? Like what practice or, because you've had such a routine and a regimen.
Right.
What's it like now until you go into the bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a couple of days off here and there. Obviously, you only get so many practices for a bowl game, and depending on the date, we'll determine our schedule. But I think it's more important now personally and as units. we can't gather as a team more than 15 times, I don't think. So just spending time together, leaders gathering guys every day. After this week, a couple of days off we have just to rest and get better. Just continue to work, to watch film, and then obviously watch a lot of football on Saturday. Watch as many teams as we can, and then just wait for that decision on Sunday or Monday whenever they tell us where we're going. So just taking advantage every day, still trying to be mature about it. And then, of course, taking care of our school while we got some extra time to make sure there's no issues for bowl game.
We were just talking with Devin Cavusi about the same thing, about just like, and you guys have to do the school thing, wrap up the term and all that on top of all of it. And it's just, it's a lot to manage. And for you, new dad too. And so you have all these things that are, that you get rolled up into a busy schedule. So because there's so much that you can't handle, do you waste any time thinking about like the stuff that you can't control? I mean, obviously you look at a bowl game like the Independence Bowl and you go, man, we could be playing on New Year's Day though, and that's got to be exciting to think about.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, since the bowl games are introduced the way they are, and the top tier one, that's your goal to prove you're one of the best teams in the country. So it'd be an honor for us. But that's out of our hands. There's only so much we could do, and now it's up to somebody else, whoever decides. I'm not sure how it works. So for us, it's just being happy with what we've done, staying humble, and then also continuing to get better, not getting too stagnant with where we're at, but realizing we got one more game, and it's easy for teams during these bowl preps to kind of slip and get trunky for the end of the year and take a break and be done Christmas, all that, dead jazz. So just proving we're still a good team, staying focused and mature for the next four weeks or so, however long we got.
So now that the season's complete, is there maybe a way you could sum up this season and what it's meant to you, what you really appreciated from it, maybe what you can work on in the future, just kind of a brief summary of your take on this year?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I got a lot of things to improve on. I'm going to throw the ball better, be more accurate throughout the game, and get better taking care of the ball. There's always more you can do, so those are my most important things right there for me this next year to focus on. And then as a team, man, I'm just super proud of the team ball we played, and I've referenced this over and over again because it's really how I feel, is that we've won so many games because both sides of the ball and special teams were all bought in. And so I'm just super happy for every single guy on our team that was involved in this last game, particularly with a lot of injuries. Everyone was involved. Guys that never thought they'd see the field the first fall camp, they ended up getting a lot of reps in the Coliseum at USC. So who'd have thought, man?
But it's a good place to try.
It just shows everyone is grinding together, bought in for each other, and when their moment's ready, they're ready, and that's why we've won as many games.
That's what Jackson McChesney did, man. I mean,
hey, man, what? You know what I mean? That was crazy. Honestly, I was so happy for that dude. He was pretty jazzed after too. It was funny to see how excited he was. I loved it.
Jaren Hall, Players Club, another one in the books. We appreciate him joining us all this season, and we'll get Jaren back on the horn again and back on another version of the Players Club. When BYU is when we're closer to the bowl game, I guess whatever bowl game that ends up being, but yeah. So Jaren's been awesome to hang out with us all year long, and I've had this discussion I think with a couple of the guys that we work with and just kind of people, and then I'll sort of poll fans too, Scott, and go, where is this on the list of
is
like
a formal poll or is this like a
semi-formal?
Yeah, is it
you got to wear a shirt and some and. And some pants, some slacks to have this conversation.
To have the poll.
Right, yeah. That's okay. It's semi-formal. Semi-formal.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So
not a tie.
You don't have to wear
or
a
not
tie.
A tuxedo.
No. Okay. No, it's not a black tie affair, formal type poll. But I really think that the more and more BYU goes along, and considering how the season went for BYU, it has to be one of the great seasons of BYU football. I think it's in the top five of these seasons for BYU football because I think people just assumed that you weren't going to get, the best out of BYU this year because, one of the great quarterbacks that you've had in your program's history was last year, you know? And to have the drop-off not really be there and, in fact, do more, I think, on the football field against the teams that they did, make the joke. Everyone's making the jokes about the the Pac-12 South champions and everything, but you can make those types of jokes, and it hurts a little bit for people who are Utah fans because it is they did exceptionally
Utah fans
well.
Don't care. They really don't.
Oh, they do. No they
because
do
it's only five wins against the Pac-12.
I know, but I'm saying that Utah's but that, but
Utah
mentioning
won seven
it,
games
mentioning
in the Pac-12.
It bothers him. Mentioning it bothers them, though. That's
what I'm
saying.
Of course it does. And it's actually,
not a real
it's all
thing,
a good thing.
But
look,
it is. I just
I
think
can't
it's
help,
been an amazing season.
I can't help but think back on our show when the pandemic was just in full force a year ago, 2020, and everyone was canceling their season. And I remember sitting there going, BYU's not going to have a game. Like this is going to be ugly.
Do you remember they ended up with two on the schedule at one point.
Right. And I remember 4-9, right? Kalani Sitake. And you're just going, this guy's not going to last. This is just ugly. And it's remarkable right. What has happened at BYU over the course of the last two seasons. Remarkable. And what where the program is, because you know what, they are a pretty darn good football team.
Yeah,
they really are.
You know,
and it's been a great year for BYU.
I would love to see like what last year's 11-1 season actually translated in for this young team in terms of experience to be able to help them to get to that point. Because there are a lot of guys who, didn't play last year. A lot of guys who did. But, the main pieces that everybody was waiting to kind of go away, the Zach Wilsons and some of these great – and then really good defensive line guys who are going to be gone. And then they come in and they end up picking up where they left off. And even having, I think, a better season than they did last year because of the people that they beat. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a Players Club edition of What Are the Odds. We're here at the City Creek Center at the brand-new Cafe Rio location. And we've been walking in and out of this place getting warm during the breaks here. And it is a beautiful. This is the nicest Cafe Rio restaurant that, and they do it. They do them all nice, and they're really dialed up. But this one is beautiful. This brand new location here at City Creek. So come hang out with us the next hour plus. We're going to be hanging out at the City Creek Center and the Cafe Rio, just kitty corner to the food court. Easy enough to find us. Come high five us and say hello. More to go right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's unrivaled.
It's been a wild ride for Blake Anderson and a Utah State Aggie.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.